Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
I like how you're playing Star Trek online, and then you have your Star Trek TV shirt on. I kind of gave up on my Next Generation rewatch.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of new content out there to watch.
There's not a ton, and it's like I'm actually finding myself going back and watching old shit. So.
I see. I'm buried in new shit to watch, mostly anime. But this year was insanely good for anime. Like, massive amount of good series.
You have a whole podcast dedicated to how in your anime now.
It's true. It's true. We're anime. You can't hang with us, loser. We're anime now.
Oh man, yeah. I couldn't get through it. It just got too. I can't explain it exactly, but it was like
you must have seen it enough to this point where you should be opting. You should be opting for the background noise version.
Yeah, I mean that's what I'm kind of doing, but I enjoy rewatching it with new eyes. So I like to pay attention when I'm watching Star Trek.
Mm. Yeah, I haven't actually sat down and like rewatched something like that. I don't think I've ever done that.
Yeah, I mean that's what I tend to do. So it's like I was trying to rewatch it episode by episode and like get deep into it, and just like five or six episodes back, I was just like, I can't do this.
Even
anymore.
Some new things are like when I was watching Stranger Things, I was getting so bored, I was just like playing on my phone, and then like something moderately interesting would happen, and I'd be like, oh, let me watch this, and I'd watch it for like 5 minutes and be back on my phone. It's like, yeah, cool show. that was my extent with that show.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of how I am on first run stuff, which is why afterwards, like when I want to do a rewatch, I usually will put the phone down and not watch.
Mm.
Like.
If it's really good though, like it'll distract me from my phone entirely, and I'm like, ooh, and I'll put the phone down and be like, now I'm watching this.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's kind of how it is.
The last season of Game of Thrones was like that. Like I actually machine gunned through it. It was super smart decision to just wait for it to come out, buy the Blu-ray, watch it, and then sell the Blu-ray. That was a good call, because having to wait between those episodes would have annoyed the fucking shit out of me.
And because that they're so off book right now that they're just blowing through the plot, it's far more interesting of a show. Like, they're completely like, hey, George, what do you got written? Oh, nothing? Okay, there's going to be dragons, and there's going to be White Walkers and Hodor and all this stuff. Okay, good.
Yeah, I mean, now the show is canon. It has superseded the books.
No, I believe in the dual canon when it comes to books, TV show. We've gone over this, the dual canon.
I go with the newest counts more.
The newest counts more?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I was texting you about The Expanse, and I was like, you got to watch this, because that's what I'm currently
rewatching.
Yeah,
it looks really good.
It is. It's fantastic, and the new season starts in February, so I'm kind of excited about that. I've read all the books at this point, because after the first season came out, I was like, I'm going to blow through all of these, because it's, you know, it's sci-fi. It's sci-fi novels, so I could read one a month and, you know, be done with it. There's six of them currently, and I was like, oh, I can't wait, I can't wait, I can't wait. And so I'm rewatching the show right now. It's good. I think the book works a little differently than the TV show, because in TV you have to be like visually entertaining, and the plot has to move a little quicker than in the books.
Yes.
Because in the books it's like a lot more noir, it's a lot more politic, and it's slower. You're enjoying it a lot on a different level than a TV show.
There's lots of things you can do in books and in comics that you can't do in a TV show. That just don't work.
Well,
like having two people in a scene for a really long time with no dialogue of any kind in a film is probably pretty awful. But in a TV show, but in, you know, you need action. You need things to be happening constantly.
Yeah, that's just exactly what it is. I was going to say, like, visual wise, the TV show is amazing. The TV show does pretty much everything that you'd want like a sci-fi TV show to do. There's spaceships, and there's like, and it's not like they even glaze through like some of this stuff, like, oh, you know, this guy was outside, you know, dealing with the asteroid, and it blew apart and hurt his arm.
It shows him dealing with the asteroid.
It shows the asteroid blowing up and taking the guy's arm out, and you're like, nice. Whoa, that's awesome. That's in the first 5 minutes of the show, so that's I'm not really that worried about it. And they do, and it's not, and they don't hand wave anti-gravity.
Oh, that's cool.
Like, they have to engage Star Trek. Shit. Yeah. Like, because there's the way that it works in there is that you only get gravity in space by two ways. One through, you know, spin. So, like a centrifuge.
Mm-hmm.
Or you have it through thrust. So, if the spaceship is going at a certain, and accelerating at a certain amount, you know, it's pushing you against the ground. So, spaceships are all built like. Like imagine a big tall building in outer space.
Cigars.
Yeah, like but no, not like a cigar, but like a big tall building in outer space where, you know, you're on the ground, you're standing on the floor, right? But imagine taking that building and putting it on its side because of the way that the building is thrusting forward, the thrust movement is pushing you against the floor, so you're actually getting gravity that way instead.
I think you just like the concept of thrusting in space.
I do like the concept of thrusting in space. However, I've heard that the rumor is sex in space not that great. Hmm. So, I don't know. I mean, I'd try it, but, you know.
It seems like it would be annoying.
Yeah, it would be like sex in a shower. It's just, it's impractical.
Movie magic only.
Yeah, movie magic only. But I'm sure it's... Once you get the hang of it, you know, like that, you could be that guy who's really good at sex in space.
That one guy.
And like, that would be your thing. And be like, oh,
he's not really good at anything except sex in space.
Exactly.
He's really good at sex in space.
It's like, why are you with that guy? He's such a douche. Yeah, I know, but he has really good sex in anti-gravity. It's like, oh, okay. Yeah,
I see.
Not many people could do that.
That's true. That's a skill.
Yeah, it's a skill. I mean, I'm great that he probably practiced at it and things like that, but... You know, what is it, 10,000 hours practicing? You got to get good at something. There you go. All right, let's talk gaming news. Do we got anything, like, major coming up?
No. It is the dead time for games.
Dead time.
New stuff is pretty few and far between. And then all the, you know, the games that are hot are still sold out. Scythe, Star Wars Destiny, Terraforming Mars.
I was actually talking with some local gaming store owners about Destiny, and they were saying that yes, it's sold out, but they're not having that much difficulty getting Destiny. It's that what they're getting is not necessarily meeting the demand, but it's enough that people are still being able to get a little bit, and it's enough to wet the whistle enough to keep it going.
That is not the overall the big picture. Yeah. But that might be great for those local stores.
Yeah, just like I've been to a couple, and that's like pretty much they've all had Destiny in the store when I went there.
Most of them that I've seen are limiting the amount of booster packs you can buy.
Yeah, like Games Plus has a big sign that says you can only buy four at a time.
Which, if you do that, that means of course you'll have it because you're limiting the amount people can buy. But people who don't limit. As soon as they check it in their store, it's gone and they need more.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we're talking, like, to give you an idea, we had 1,200 boxes pre-sold for one of the waves. 1,200. We got 150 boxes.
Yeah.
So that'll give you an idea of what the demand is versus what the supply is.
Yeah.
150 supplied, 1,200 demand.
Yeah. What I think is interesting what the LGS is doing is... They are, by limiting the packs, you're not getting the people going into the store, buying the booster box, taking it home, selling it online. By limiting the packs...
Well, most people want to rip it. Like, that's the thing. Like, yeah. The singles, because it's hard to find packs, so the artificial scarcity of a collectible game, combined with the fact that there are good, and you know, it's a card game.
Yeah.
There's better and worse things, so that means a card, you know, something that might be... in like a reasonable world, $10 is $100 now.
Yeah.
Because it's so hard to find that shit.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying is that it's selling the boosters, ripping it. Same thing.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that. If I would dump it immediately, like as soon as possible, I would just get rid of it. Like there's two avenues I would take. I would either gamble myself and open the box, try and sell the singles, or just immediately sell the boxes. Cause this is a flash in the pan. It is not going to be around. This supply thing will kill any possibility of it being a very like long-lived game. By set two, the demand will be gone.
Okay. Well,
I've seen this This happens over and over. Like, this is like a this is a repeated mistake of the gaming industry. Is like they release something, it's super hot, they can't provide the product, and then the players move on to the next thing. It happened with Dice Masters. It's going to happen with Destiny.
Yeah, the but what I'm saying is what the LGS is doing is by limiting the number of the packs, they're just creating local play. So, I mean, no reseller is going to come in, buy four packs, and then go home and try and sell those four packs. There's no incentive to do that. They're going to go to whatever place they can to get the full booster to either sell the box, sell the booster packs, or to rip. You know, that's what they're going to do. Resellers are the most awful human beings on the planet. I will say that. One of the most awful human beings on the planet. There's a couple that are worse.
Nah, man. If you rip the box and you take that gamble, you deserve it if you win big.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying it's like they hurt, you know, local game. They hurt the local players.
No, the supply chain hurts the local players. Well, that's the thing. This is all on the shoulders of the manufacturers. Like, anytime there are scalpers, you can be pissed at the scalpers if you want, but the real issue is the people manufacturing the game. The supply chain is awful. They don't meet the demand properly, and they're never, ever prepared for a hot game.
No.
Like, if you... And I'm not saying you need to overproduce your game. That's understandable. You don't want to just, like, dump money into something that's not a sure thing. But the fact that there is never... ever any sort of contingencies in place or fast track production in place in case a game is hot, why is that? That should always be your number one priority. If I'm making a collectible game and I'm going to allocate this many funds, this is what I'm going to risk. But you'd be damn sure that I'm going to have a plan in case if this game is hot, I'm going to get it. I'm going to have an exact time frame when it's going to come back. I'm going to be able to get you exactly. You know, I'm going to say, okay, so the first wave sold out, super hot. Here's the deal. We have a restock. It'll be here in 3 weeks. We will get you every single thing you want. Give me your number.
Well, and that's true with the pre-sales. I mean, they should just take a look at the pre-sale numbers,
but
and immediately get into the
production. Doesn't necessarily, like, Destiny did not pre-sell that well. That's the thing.
Oh, I thought that's what you were saying.
No. Well, there was two waves of pre-sales. The first wave, when the game launched, was people got their numbers in. It was months in advance.
Yeah.
By the time the game was starting to get real interesting and a lot of interest was generated and people wanted more, people were trying to up their pre-orders and they couldn't because orders were already placed. So most everyone got exactly what they ordered on the first wave, but those orders were small. We're talking like people who had like four boxes on order or eight boxes in order trying to make their order like 20 boxes or 100 boxes. So they got their eight boxes and they got the 12 boxes. So then there was going to be another wave. So that's the wave we started taking pre-orders on. That's the one where we got up to 1,200.
Okay, well, that makes sense then.
So, but there should be preparation. And this happens, like, Scythe is the same thing. It happened with Dice Masters.
Well, Scythe was kind of dumb because Scythe had generated so much buzz and it was so hot that they should have at least been able to meet.
Again, it's manufactured. Like I said, all of these issues lie in manufacturing. If you see a game on Amazon that's a $40 MSRP game going for $200, which happens frequently because it's sold out fucking everywhere, that is the manufacturer's fault.
No, and I get that. Like, especially with Scythe, because Scythe was a game that went to Kickstarter, did incredibly well, generated a shit ton of buzz. Everyone loved it.
By all accounts, it's a fucking great game.
Yeah, and their booth at Gen Con was hilarious because it was just literally a table, the board game set up on there, and a sign in the back that just said Scythe. And that's all it was.
That's awesome.
And it was like there was still people like wanting to go and play there. It was, they had nothing to sell. They were just there with the game. That was it.
That's awesome.
And I was like, holy crap. But this game is huge. I mean, and the fact that they weren't able to at least meet somewhat of the demand and so out, you know, but in all honesty, I have seen a couple boxes when I've gone to the game stores. So I'm not thinking it's that much.
It's still, we're talking macro lens here.
Yeah.
And like, the thing is like, we're finally going to get a decent wave in this month. But this is this is so far removed from that. Like, and like, it's still going to be hot. People still want it. But like, this is still so far removed from the initial wave. If this was a collectible game, it would be dead.
Yeah.
So that's the other thing too.
Well, like, yeah, it's collectible versus an actual board game. Like, a board game will have staying power. Like, people will talk about Scythe for a while.
Right.
And then they'll be like, it'll be like Dead of Winter is now, where people are like, hey, remember Scythe? We should play Scythe. We haven't played Scythe in months.
Yeah, I think it's kind of what it is. And that's a huge difference between your collectible, non-collectible game. Like, this is like, not having it in stock and it's a board game is annoying and people get frustrated. not having it in stock and it's a collectible game, it kills your game.
Yeah.
Like, it just fucking murders your game. Dice Masters is the greatest example of that. Dice Masters, I don't know, because we didn't stock Dice Masters, but from the legend of Dice Masters from my overall customer base.
It's the legend of Dice Masters.
It was hotter than Destiny, and Destiny is fucking ridiculous.
It was hotter than Destiny.
And the night begins to shine.
And the night, it begins to shine on the Dice Masters. I watched The Last Unicorn the other day.
I see.
Last rainbow in the last.
Well, that bull
unicorn.
Was trying to fuck the unicorn, right?
I believe it was. Fucked
nice.
A lot of unicorns.
Nice.
Yeah.
Bow chicka bow.
That's so sad. Do you ever hear about like the whole story behind
how that guy got totally fucking wrecked?
Yes, his. And it's like, it's so awful.
He made it back. He made a comeback.
He did, but I don't think he's made the money or anything. Like, I think his like own manager is still
he has bounced back overall, but not in comparison, if that makes sense.
He's
doing okay now, and a lot of that is because of his fans, because they actually,
yeah, his fans like rallied.
Yeah, so that was a thing a couple years ago. There was a big tour for The Last Unicorn, and like I guess that generated a shit ton of money for him.
Yeah,
one of the guys in Game Grumps is a fucking massive fan of his, and he did that music video and like raised a bunch of money for that guy because he was such a huge fan. One of the big fans leading a charge for that guy.
Yeah, I mean, and like, in all honesty, Peter Spiegel is not that great of a writer, but it's like, it's a cultural milestone for a lot of people.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
The Last Unicorn.
That movie was a lot of people, I'd say our age, is like first forays into like fantasy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, my daughter loves it. She's only 5, and she's been watching that since she was like, I don't know, 3, and she absolutely adores it, even though she doesn't get a lot of it, but it's got the booby.
Like when the bull mounts the unicorn, like that's a little hard to explain.
I don't think that actually ever happens.
Are you
Steve?
Sure?
I'm positive.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty positive on that one.
I think I've seen video.
Okay. Steve, that's just a bull having sex with a horse.
Oh. All right.
It's because you don't believe, Joe.
Yeah,
it's because you don't believe
you don't
in the unicorn.
You can't see the horn.
You can't see the unicorn horn.
So either you just see a regular horse or you just see a bull humping the air.
No, you just see a regular horse. That's the
very good.
That's the thing. And you got the booby tree, and you got what's his face, Count Dooku. Why can't I think of his name?
Christopher Lee.
Christopher Lee. You know, doing the voice.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man. I'm kind of sad.
I'm surprised you like first went to Count Dooku.
Like
he's Dracula, he's Saruman.
Saruman would probably be my like
Sherlock Holmes, also Moriarty.
I'm just in a Star Wars kind of mode. You know, I know you haven't seen Rogue One yet. I wish you had, because it would have been great to talk about, because we have nothing else to talk about. But you know, I there's some interesting things in there that I'm waiting to get your opinion on.
All right. Well, I'm probably going to be seeing it this weekend.
Yeah.
At some point, maybe doing the IMAX thing.
I don't know if it'd be. You know what? The third act is pretty good for IMAX.
I've been on a kick where if I'm going to go see a movie, I want to go see it in IMAX, because that's like, I saw Doctor Strange in IMAX and it was great. Like it's just,
well, it would lend itself. And the only problem is
the number one thing that makes that IMAX is worth it, even if the film is not. Most of the movies I see are visually interesting enough for IMAX, but let's just say, for the sake of argument, I'm going to see a movie that's not technically visually interesting enough for IMAX. The sound is always worth it, because in a normal movie theater, I think it's kind of even a decent theater, I think sometimes it's a crapshoot whether or not they have the fucking volume up enough.
Yeah.
Or if the channels are done properly. So sometimes I'll miss bits of dialogue and I'm like, what the fuck did that person say? In IMAX, you don't miss shit. It's like, you're like, oh Jesus, it's loud.
That was when I went and saw Thor, the original Thor, in theater. It was the worst sound experience I've ever had in my life.
It doesn't have an IMAX.
No.
If you go to IMAX, you will always have great sound.
So I went and saw it opening night. I saw Rogue One opening night. Then I took my wife and daughter. We went and saw it kind of like in an afternoon show during Christmas break. And then so on that day that I took my wife and daughter, Pat texts me, like, I guess this is going to be our usual thing for Star Wars movies, because he can never go see it opening night. He was just like, you seen Rogue One? You want to go see Rogue One? I'm like, sure. And he's like, go see a late show, Rogue One. Cause I'm like, sure, Pat, no problem. So we went and we went to the theater by my house, which I usually hate this theater, but it turns out that they redid all the seats, so now you have recliner seats in there. So much better. And we went and saw it in 3D.
The Dream Loungers.
Yeah, the Dream Loungers. We saw it in 3D, which I don't recommend the 3D. If you go see it,
I think it'll automatically be in 3D and IMAX.
Yeah, it's not that great of a...
I can't see 3D, so yeah. I do frequently wear 3D glasses for no reason.
Well, it's just so it doesn't look blurry if you're in a 3D show. And my thing with Rogue One is that the first act is fucking terrible. It makes no sense. Then, but when you get to the second act, you're like, okay, I'm along for the ride. I get this. I got what's going on. And then by the third act, you're fucking jerking off in the theater. You're like, yes, yes, this is everything I fucking wanted in a Star Wars movie. Yes, 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 yes. And that was Pat. That was exactly Pat. Pat was masturbating really in funny. The Dream Lounger. Watching the third act of Rogue One. It's the third act is so good, it makes up for everything else in that movie. So, I mean, it is such a solid third act. I mean, but there's things in there that I'm interested in seeing your opinion on, because I know certain people will be like, this was amazing, and you'd be like, no, it was stupid.
It was dumb.
It was stupid.
This is terrible.
Yeah. Because you haven't read up on anything, right?
No.
Or any of that. Okay, so I don't want to spoil anything for you.
No, I generally try to avoid Star Wars shit.
Yeah, but they do some interesting things, considering the fact that Princess Leia has now died.
True.
Yes.
Got one day left.
One day left. Then let's see who else dies. Who are you going to put money on? It's got to be someone beloved. That's the thing.
I wouldn't put money on anyone, but yeah, I don't know. At this point, it would be good if it was someone just random. Like, I don't know, the guy who played Balki Bartakamus.
Oh.
Yeah, like that guy. Like, people would be like, oh, I love Perfect Strangers.
I love Bronson Pinchot.
Yeah. Yeah, so see, there you go.
No, I would...
Not Cousin Larry, though. He can never die.
Mark, what is his...
I have no fucking idea.
It's a Mark something or other. No, it's like, I was talking about it
Elf
like...
Elf died.
Yeah, the guy who played Elf died. Yeah, but he really... That was weird. He was a weird guy to begin with.
He was Elf.
Yeah. He was like, he was really into being Elf, too.
He was Elf.
Did you ever see that movie with Ben Stiller where he plays the guy that was writing on the Elf show?
No. Did I?
That Pure Midnight? Or?
Yeah, that one.
Where he's like on drugs and he's all fucked up.
Yeah, he's all messed up on drugs throughout the entire thing.
He's to have that movie.
It's written, the show's called Mr. Chompers.
I do not remember this at all.
It's a weird fucking movie.
I used to own this film and I don't remember it.
Yeah, Cole's totally called you out.
Hang on, let me see. I might be able to kickstart my memory. Do you remember the name of the film?
It's something
like Midnight.
Yeah, it's
Pure Midnight or some shit like that.
Yeah.
This is weird.
Ben Stiller Midnight.
Yeah, I'm checking now. This is fucking weird. I normally my memory is pretty fucking good.
Yeah, I was gonna say, but I mean, like, Cole totally called you
Permanent
out.
Permanent Midnight?
That might be it.
Television writer becomes more successful as heroin habit grows worse.
It's an insane movie.
I don't remember but it's this all movie about this, at all.
It's a real. It's like it's not real, but it's a pretty. It's an adaptation of this guy's life who wrote on Elf.
I don't remember this film at all. Like, not even a little. This is really weird. Yeah. Fucking blowing my mind right now. All right. Well, that's odd. I guess my memory is really fading.
Well, we were... back to the celebrity deaths thing. It was like, I was talking like... Carrie Fisher was...
Oh, Ronda Rousey's career probably died this year.
Yeah, it did. But who cares? It's MMA. It's just people humping on the floor.
No, there are people who punch,
yeah,
as evidenced by Ronda Rousey's 48-second match.
Yeah, there's people who punch, but a lot of times that MMA stuff is just people on the floor humping each other. And it's like...
That's not correct, but okay.
And they're like humping and punching on the floor because they're saying that it's like, humping is bad! Humping is bad! End this fight! I don't... There's other issues going on with MMA. I mean, And people be like, oh, you MMA guy who comes up to user fight. I'm like, yeah, I'll kick my ass, but I'm not going to argue that. I'm still going to say it's a little, eh.
It's just a fight. Like, yeah. It's an actual fight. Like, if you see real people fight, like, that's how people fight. They fucking, they grab, they, like, the old MMA, that's just how people actually fight.
Yeah.
You hurt the other person. What's a good way to hurt the other person? Put them in a position that's very uncomfortable, and then bend them.
Go for the groin. That's the thing.
They used to be before they banned below the belt. There used to be fucking guys who would just take down someone and then just murder their fucking nuts. You just fucking just knock them down, hold their legs up, and just start pummeling their balls until they fucking.
It's like Popeye where the guy's like ba da 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 da. He takes this finish. He's like hitting the scrotum like it's a punching bag.
That's basically.
Gonna go in and.
That's basically what it was before they tried to make it more quote unquote legitimate. I mean, and don't get me wrong, I thought MMA was way better when it was fucking weird, like when it had the guy who was an ex-boxer and he wore like one boxing glove for some reason, like, and there was no weight classes. That's when MMA was awesome, because it was just like, hey, you know how to fight? Yeah, I guess. That guy says he knows how to fight too. You two are gonna fight.
I think for me, the concept of MMA is this is the reason why I don't like MMA as opposed to like professional, like professional wrestling, like, you know, WWF wrestling, is that there's no
entrance themes.
Yeah, no entrance themes, and there's no theme or story. I was trying to explain this.
Well, the story's all real, like when they beat the shit out of each other.
Yeah, you'll appreciate this.
They don't have writing.
Because I know you're not a big sports fan either. But I was trying to explain this to a guy I know who's a huge sports fan. I go, the reason why sports means nothing to me, really, I mean, aside from a lot of other stuff, but one of the main reasons is that the person who wins the Super Bowl this year, the 2016 Super Bowl, It's not going to mean anything to the cultural zeitgeist down the line. Like, no one is ever going to remember, like, the storyline behind it. However, I could still tell you when The Rock went over to the bad side in the WWF back in the 90s, because it was a great storyline.
Sportsball fans will still know what.
Well, they'll know, but I mean,
although the evidence and weight of important things happening may vary, because people already don't care that the Cubs won.
Yeah.
But after 100 years, people are already like, whatever. What did the Cubs do lately?
now that's an interesting one, because there is a story behind it. There's like the Cubs hadn't won in 100 years, so there's already like a storyline behind it, which is great. And I think that's more important, is the storyline behind something that's happening.
And people already don't care.
Yeah, but I mean, like professional wrestling, there's a storyline behind it, and as much as it's fake, it can be entertaining as well because of the story.
I like professional wrestling.
Yeah.
Wrestling is something that, like, at all times, it's all right. And sometimes it's really good.
But because you like the story behind it. You can root for one guy.
And they have special moves.
They have special moves. And entrance themes and everything else. It's, you know.
Yeah. Wrestling is fun. And like anything else, people can take it too seriously. But wrestling overall is a fun thing to do. Like, it's fun to watch. It's fun to see them shit talk each other. You know, that's the thing that makes dudes on the mic. That's the thing that makes wrestling great. You know, when fucking The Rock is over there, he's like, John Cena running around the ring looking like a bowl of Fruity Pebbles. I'm going to smack your candy ass all around. Like, that is the stuff that makes wrestling fun.
Yeah, and you got like, what do you think, Mean Gene?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Well, I can't believe that he was able to come out here and stand up and fight against the Hulkamaniac. Unbelievable. It's just a ridiculous showing. And like, especially when we were younger, they were such terrible actors that they would get up there, and it's like you watch it now, and you're like, I can't believe that this passed for anything.
No way, man. It was the best. Well, look, it's for kids.
We're going to rise to the top like the cream.
You take that back. Macho Man Randy Savage was a national fucking treasure.
He is. I'm not arguing. But he was a terrible actor.
Ooh. I can't believe you would say that about me, the Macho Man. Me and the Hulkster are going to run wild all over you.
And the best thing about the Macho Man, his fucking theme song was Pomp and Circumstance. Just walks on his fucking ridiculous like cape thing.
Wasn't that when he was the Macho King Randy Savage though?
He was always the Macho Man Randy Savage, Macho King, Macho Man. It was all the same. Like,
okay,
he was always the same. Just like it was something. It was Macho something Randy Savage.
It wasn't like when Hulk went over to the dark side when he was the head of the NWO.
He was still Hulk Hogan, but he was a bad guy Hulk Hogan.
Yeah. But he never. But he was with the NWO. He didn't come out for Fight for the Real
American. No. He came out with the NWO theme.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There
was villain.
It was
villainous Hulk.
Yes. Ooh, it was bad.
You, Hulk, I can't believe you cheated on me with the lovely Miss Elizabeth.
Oh, yeah, and it's like, back then you had real villains, like the...
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man?
The Million Dollar... Erwin R. Scheister, IRS.
Him and fucking Virgil. He's got him in the Million Dollar Dream, Chet!
And they would have... No, you'd have, like, the Iron Sheik and, like, Nikolai Volkov, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, you'd have like, real villains that, like, represented the USSR or the Middle East at the time, you know? The Shah of Iran, like... Who's America against today? Ooh, it's 1970s. We're definitely against Iran. Let's create the Iron Sheik. And you just have the guy go, la, 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 la. And you're like you watch it now, you're like, Jesus Christ, what was wrong with America?
I think what you really meant to say was what was right.
What was right. Oh, and then Sergeant Slaughter went over to the bad guys, too. That was a sad day.
It's true. Sergeant Slaughter, man.
Sergeant Slaughter was at the Kane County Cougars game one time when I was there.
He's always around. That dude is like, he's one of the few wrestlers from that era who's still fucking alive. Almost all of them are dead.
Don't say that. That'll make Pat B sad.
It's just true. Like, almost every wrestler from the 80s is dead. Like, you've got Hogan.
All hate Hogan, too.
Well, yeah, everyone hates Hogan because he was super popular. And, like, he was a technically bad wrestler. Like, his wrestling skills were not good, but he had the charisma.
Yeah,
the people
machismo.
Loved him. People loved Hulk Hogan, and like that was the thing. But his wrestling wasn't great.
Well, Undertaker's still alive.
What Undertaker's from? Undertaker got big in the 90s. He started in the
80s. So we're saying like the 80s,
right?
Okay.
So like I'm talking Big Boss Man, Andre the Giant,
Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
So these would be the
Jimmy
guys.
Superfly Snuka.
These would be the guys who started in the 70s and then were really popular in the 80s.
Bret Hart's still alive.
Bret Hart is still alive. Owen Hart's dead.
Owen
Hart died in an accident.
Yeah,
not from being old.
As the blue
Vader,
I
think, just recently died.
Who's the blue
Big Boss Man?
No, Owen Hart. He was the Blue Meanie, I think, at the time.
Oh, yeah, Blue something. It was a superhero thing.
He was like, woo!
Yeah, and that did not end well for him. yeah, Vader died not too long ago. But yeah, like, Big Boss Man's
Ultimate
dead.
Warrior's
Ultimate
dead.
Warrior, all the Ultimate Warriors are dead. yeah. It takes a lot of, like, all of the
Macho
shit you
Man,
do.
Macho Man died. Randy Savage. Macho Man Randy Savage died.
He died to prevent the apocalypse.
Yeah.
Everyone... You know, all of the things they do takes a toll, you know, just takes a toll.
Was Coco Beware dead?
I don't know. Maybe. I think Yokozuna's dead.
Yeah, Yokozuna's dead. What's the guy? Coco Beware, Jimmy Superfly Snuka. I'm trying to remember all the wrestlers from the 80s.
I think Ricky Steamboat's dead, too.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like there's so many of them. I was like, I was looking at it once. And I just got sad, so I stopped. I was just like, oh, man.
Hacksaw Jim Duggan died.
Yeah. Hacksaw. Yeah. That guy was fucking out of control. Roddy Piper.
Roddy Piper died, yeah.
That's okay, because he stopped They Live.
He stopped They Live.
That movie has the best fight scene in any movie
ever. Yeah,
it
goes on for like 45 minutes.
It's so realistic. It is a very, like, because when that scene is over, you're just like, Jesus Christ. Like, I can't, why? Why did that happen? One of the most realistic fight scenes ever captured on film.
We did.
Him and Keith David.
At Comic Book Logic, we do our top three. And one of the ones we did was top three alien invasions. And I can't remember. Oh, it was for Superman. It was for Man of Steel when we did Man of Steel. And we were like, picked our top three. And my number one was They Live.
Yeah, They Live's pretty great.
Because that's...
Are they aliens? Did they confirm that? Or were they extra-dimensional beings?
Well...
They never really explained them, right?
They're alien to this world.
Okay.
How about that?
Yeah, because they never really explained them. I don't think. And he just got those shades, like, out of nowhere.
I know. It's
I love that movie. That's a fantastic movie.
I'm here to chew bubble gum and kick ass, and I'm all out of bubble gum. And you think about it, because you always like, it's here. I'm here to kick ass and chew bubble gum.
Well, it's because that's what Duke Nukem says.
Yes, but it makes more sense. But then in the movie, he says it the opposite way, and you're like, this doesn't ring well in my ears.
Because Duke Nukem.
You think it's because
Shake It, Baby. Oh, yeah. Duke Nukem was fucking huge.
I know Duke Nukem was huge.
And
I'm
I
just
think
saying.
Duke Nukem took that. Like, Duke Nukem used that line, which was a reference, but. In doing so, Duke Nukem's popularity eclipsed They Live, so the line became Duke Nukem's. So when people hear that line, most people, when they hear that line, they don't even know what They Live is, so they're like, that's Duke Nukem.
Yeah, well, I mean, they quote the new... Even people who love They Live quote the Duke Nukem line, because it actually makes more sense on your ear to say, I'm here to kick ass and chew bubblegum. I think it's because kick ass is shorter than chew bubblegum.
Hail to the King, baby.
Hail to the King, baby. Which is also another reference to Ash versus... Oh, just Evil Dead. Ash vs. the Evil Dead is an amazing show.
I heard it's really good.
It's fucking fantastic.
Yeah, everyone says it's really great. I'll probably pick it. I can get it on PlayStation, so I might pick it up digital.
I will tell you this. I like how you're yawning. I'm the one who had no sleep last night. The
you don't yawn because you're tired.
The first episode of the first season is the best Sam Raimi thing that's been around since Drag Me to Hell.
I didn't really like Drag Me to Hell.
It was good. I liked it. I thought it was kind of a return to form for Sam Raimi.
I didn't think it was bad. I don't know. It's something about that movie just didn't sit well with me. I don't know what it was.
Was it Evan Rachel Wood? I think that's who was in it.
Maybe.
I don't know. It wasn't Evan Rachel Wood. It was the other one.
I don't know.
Alison Lohman was
in
that
one. It's me, the pie fucker.
But the in the second season, there's a scene where Ash is in a morgue, and a guy's big colon gets possessed. Like a corpse's colon gets possessed.
That's awesome.
So Ash has to fight against this possessed colon, and it wraps around him and pulls him into the guy's anus. So Ash is running around with this dead body on his head. His head is through the ass.
That sounds fucking great.
It is one of the funniest things, and like one of the most brilliantly inspired like Evil Dead things I've ever seen.
That sounds fucking awesome.
and of course, you know, Bruce Campbell's amazing in the show. Like,
yeah, he's Bruce Campbell.
Well, I mean, and that's the thing too. It's like he's fucking old.
Yeah, he's old.
And you're like, I can't.
He still got it though.
Yeah, the strength of Bruce Campbell is part of the reason why there'll never be a successful, where there can never be a successful Evil Dead RPG. I will say that because it's one of those things where it's like, why would you play in the Evil Dead universe if you don't have Ash?
It also kind of ruins and warps the franchise. Like, did you see the remake?
Yeah, the
remake was a good movie.
It's not terrible,
but it's not Evil Dead.
No,
because you can't do Evil Dead without Bruce Campbell. Like, it just doesn't work. Like, Ash is integral to that film existing.
Well, it's the dark humor of Ash being such a dumbass, but at the same time such a heroic character.
Yes,
that it's
heroically stupid.
That should be a category in like Dungeons and Dragons, like the heroically stupid.
Yeah,
that's what, you know, that's what we, okay,
Minsk is like that in Baldur's Gate as well.
Yeah,
he's the one who talks about the fucking hamster.
What,
he's the barbarian.
It's been such a long time, but what we should do is we should, you know how they have like an alignment chart for, you know, alignment, they should also have an intelligence chart where it's like heroically stupid and heroically smart, and like villainous stupid, villainous smart. You know, like, this is how you design your character on this chart. Mm. We should do that. I don't know what the center part would be. It wouldn't be like true neutral, but it would have to be like something like true average.
I guess.
Average intelligence. It's like, I have no opinion either way.
Average morals. Yeah. Average morals. Average intelligence. I don't know. Just a guy.
Just a guy. That would be the great to play the truest of the true neutral.
Yeah, just like, I don't know. I was like, what do you think? Should we help that villager out? What do you guys think?
Should we?
Yeah, I don't know. He looks kind of scummy. He might be a suspect.
I actually think I like this idea. We're gonna create this, and we're gonna put it out there about the D&D alignment chart for intelligence. Like, this is what we have to do. So
the smarts charts.
Smarts charts. See, this is what we bounce ideas back and forth. We come up with the smarts charts. We have nothing to talk about gaming wise. We come up with this. This is brilliant. We could put it out there, and people can use this in their game as a way of charting the intelligence of either A, their characters, or B, NPCs or villains. You know, that's how you come up with it. You want a villain? Do you want a villain to be villainously stupid or villainously intelligent? You know, like, that's what you want to do. I don't know. It's just a thought. just an idea. Steve's thinking this over. He's mulling it.
Gonna take a nap.
Oh, we got way more podcasts to talk about.
Shit.
We can't talk about WWF forever.
Fuck. But why not? How come there's no WWF RPG? You know what? I bet there is. There's got to be a pro wrestling RPG.
Oh, there's
got to
be. Oh,
it's probably not licensed. I think I would have heard of a licensed one.
Yeah, no. You don't want to do... I guess you would. Okay, so
you want to do a licensed one because you want to get the superstars in there, so you can have.
Well, that's what you
want to have your characters. You want to have your players in a fatal four way with the Undertaker and Vader. See, that's
no,
the
what
thing.
You what you do is when you're if you design a pro wrestling WWF RPG, you'd want to do like you'd have your basic RPG book where it has your character creation. You know, you basically there's a campaign would consist of the build up to the match.
It'd be the build up to pay per view.
Yeah, well,
you'd have to have lots of matches, because that's the thing. Everything, the year in wrestling is always the same, and it is, you have your weekly events.
Yeah,
and then at the end of each month, you have a pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And then all of that, like the weekly events all build up towards that month's pay-per-view.
Yeah.
So like feuds start and blah, blah, blah. And then they are resolved at the pay-per-view. And then everything that's happening overall culminates at WrestleMania.
Yes. Well, and that's what I'm saying is like you'd have to.
If you played weekly, you could actually just do it straight up like the actual wrestling TV. So on the first 3 weeks, you would be Raw and SmackDown. And then on week four, you would be at the pay-per-view event. So like Money in the Bank or whatever.
Yeah.
And then the next month, you would just. Same thing. You'd be back to Raw and SmackDown and then another new pay-per-view like Hell in a Cell. And then at the end of the year, your last session of the year would be WrestleMania.
Well, not necessarily because if you're playing with I would think this would be interesting to do an RPG where you have players versus players in it. Because that would kind of be the important thing. Unless you're doing like a tag team thing. So if like you got two players versus two players who are like in a tag team,
I mean that'd be great. And then the easiest way to arbitrate it too is you have like if two players are fighting, you have other players commentate.
You could have other players commentate, or they could provide support with like a random chair.
Yeah, running in the ring, like that, grab their leg, trip them,
like that GIF of John Cena where he opens up the present and it's a chair.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's how you would do it is like you'd have that. So it's like a tag team thing. Or if you want to get really big into it, Survivor Series, 4-man tag team. That was Survivor Series, right? Where you did the 4-man team.
Survivor Series.
Or was that remember. The was that the?
I think Survivor Series is like you start with like 31 guys and it goes up. But they don't fight all at once.
Yeah,
it's
one
like
person
a,
comes in.
It's like a big
in.
Bracket tournament. The person coming in is Royal Rumble.
Royal Rumble, okay.
And the Royal Rumble is. If you start in the ring every 10 minutes or something, another wrestler
comes like,
in.
No, it was
and
like
if you get thrown out of the ring you're gone.
It was like every minute and a half, another wrestler would come in. That was a great event. It was fantastic. Because you want to be the last guy coming in. Because by then, everyone's exhausted.
That's a huge advantage. It's a huge,
huge advantage.
Right.
You know, no one ever was the first one in stayed. I should see if I could find some of those.
Actually, I think The Undertaker won a Royal Rumble as the first.
Did he?
I think he did once, yeah.
Oh, That's brilliant.
Only the Undertaker.
Only that's this brilliant scripting right there of the WWF. No, but what I'm saying is so okay. So you have the RPG, you have character creation, but you also have pre-generated superstars. So you'd have like Hulk Hogan in the book. You'd have Macho Man Randy Savage. You'd have Brutus the Barber, and you'd have like a couple of classics. Then you'd have like John Cena or Undertaker, and you know some of the newer ones. I don't know a lot of the newer ones. Is Al Snow still wrestling?
No.
The
couple new wrestlers that I really like are there's the Vaudevillains and Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt's like a crazy hillbilly. He comes in. He looks deranged. He's got a giant fucking frayed beard, and like he has brothers, and they wear goat masks, and they all have frayed beards. And when he comes in, like the fucking stadium gets full of fog, and he's got this fucking like old ass like trusty lantern, and he fucking walks in, and he's like they light up the arena looks like stars. It's fucking weird as shit, and like he's like really supernatural, and his special move is called Sister Abigail, and it's the weirdest thing. He bends backwards. Like the fucking Exorcist,
yeah,
and then just like dashes that way and fucking tackles people. It's horrifying looking.
It's horrifying.
And and it's just a slobber knocker. And Sister Abigail is a like weird like missing part of their creepy fucking family. I don't know. It's cool. He's a cool character.
Well,
he's like
yeah.
He kind of has that Undertaker feel where he's like supernatural. Like it has that like weird like he's got maybe some sort of powers because the Undertaker always had some sort of powers.
Yeah. Well, and okay, so you have that's like the main rule book. The main rule book, you know, talks about how to like you'd have the Dungeon Master's Guide or the Arena Master's Guide.
There you go.
And then you'd have like the Player's Guide,
the Commissioner's Guide,
the Commissioner's Guide, and it would be. The Commissioner's Guide.
The Superstar's Guide and the Commissioner's Guide.
Yes. No, not the Superstar's Guide. Yeah, I guess you call it.
Because the players are superstars.
Yeah.
Everyone makes a superstar. That's the that's the. If
so
you
the
wrestle,
Commissioner's Guide would tell you, like, okay, this is how you set it up. This is, like, how a normal session would work.
These are the wrestler stats.
This is the stuff that you need to have, like, how to do behind-the-scenes stuff, like, how to do... you have to do an interview. Like, if your player has to do an interview for, you know, whatever the event is and going on, like, that's the sort of thing... Like, how you could have what's going on behind the scenes while another match is going on, blah, 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 blah. Superstar's Guide, how to build your superstar, like, personality, like, what's your hook, what's your gimmick, what's your special move, like, how to enact the special move, things like that. Like, oh, you are being grappled, you know, you have to take this test, you know, like, that sort of thing. Oh no, Mankind put on that sock on his hand.
It's Mr. Socko with the mandible claw.
Yeah, with the mandible claw. What do you do? You know, that sort of stuff.
You get Mr. Socko in your mouth, that's what you do.
But you'd have booklets released that would be like
story arcs.
Like, yeah, well, like WrestleMania 1989.
Right.
And so you would take on one of the people who was at WrestleMania 1989. So it would be like Hulk Hogan would be in there. It would have all the stats for Hulk Hogan 1989.
Run in and help Andre the Giant beat Hogan.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, you could do stuff like that. You could either, A, take part as one of the superstars who was at 89, or you could play your own character in 89 and take part in the events. Like, how cool would that be?
Yeah, be cool.
I mean, it'd be a great one-off if you, like, especially if you have, like, big wrestling fans in your group. There's not a ton of them anymore, but anyway. I don't know.
Wrestling's still pretty fucking huge.
It is. I mean, you could be like, oh, man, just when the NW, when the...
Oh, and you could have the Japanese books, too, for the Japanese pro wrestling. Their wrestling is fucking nuts.
Yeah, but I don't think people are familiar enough with it.
You know what? It's starting to get there. There's a lot of people going
I know that the Mexican League is huge.
Luchadores!
Yeah, whatever one's on TV right now.
If they
now.
Take your luchador mask off, you're done.
Oh, you're done. Yeah, there's a... That whatever's on there...
Can't be unmasked.
On that Elmex, was that whatever the Robert Rodriguez channel is, they have that luchador wrestling on there, and it's huge.
Yeah, the Mexican style is really cool. They do a lot of high-flying stuff, which is neat. That's like that's the differences between the big wrestling organizations.
Rey Mysterio.
Right. The big wrestling organizations have the differences are, like, the American one is super produced and very much about, like, the storyline. Like, that's the American one. The Mexican is all about, like, acrobatics and, like, the high-flying maneuvers. And the Japanese one is, in addition to being about the characters, it's also, like, brutal. Like, it's like, very violent. The Japanese one is more aggressive than the American one.
Well, that's how they get out their aggression, is by watching crazy wrestling.
Yeah, yeah.
And sumo wrestling.
Yokozuna. Sumo's pretty cool, but apparently it's a very, very corrupt sport.
Yeah, there was on the documentary, what's that called? Freakonomics, the Freakonomics documentary. They do a whole segment on how they rig sumo wrestling so that, you know, people can make more money or whatever else have you. So it's like, it's weird corrupt, but it's not like corrupt in the way that
American sports are corrupt.
Yeah, it's a little different. It's like more based on, like, honor and, like, you know, you have your place in this hierarchy of how you do things. So you have to follow this path.
It's rigid.
Yeah, it's very rigid.
That's the difference. Like, American corruption is flexible and, like, ready to fuck you over. Japanese corruption, rigid.
Yeah.
it's like you can't fuck over this person. That's not cool. You can fuck over this guy.
Yeah.
But you can't fuck over this guy. You fuck over this guy, you get killed. You fuck over this guy, you're okay.
Well, and it's like, do you want to continue with the sumo? You want to continue in sumo, you have to lose this match. And it's like, oh, okay. So, and it's not like it's not like over the top where the guy's trying to win back the love of his son.
And that truck.
No, he's like
when it takes it all, as it takes you fall, back to the beginning of the end.
Well, and that's the thing. And it's like a person who watched American wrestling, WWF, when growing up, when they were explaining all this in the documentary, I'm like, so it's just a storyline that they're creating. This isn't anything that's
wrestling.
Yeah, this isn't like, so what? So the person's making a bet on this and making money because they know that this guy's going to lose. Well, who the fuck cares? It's your fault for betting against it, like, for betting on sumo that you're, you know, like, what? It's dumb. So, I mean, I don't know. It's a decent documentary if you watch it.
Winner takes it all and loser takes a fall.
Yeah. Robert Loggia was the bad guy, right?
He was the
grandpa.
Yeah, I think he was.
Robert Loggia. He just died recently,
it's me,
too. I think it was
Robert Loggia.
I think it was last year he died.
It's R as in Robert Loggia. And O as in O. Is that Robert Loggia?
B as in Bob. Is that Robert Loggia? Space.
Good stuff.
Oh, do we have anything else to talk about? We created another RPG out there, so if Vince McMahon is listening to this.
We've created a wrestling RPG, a sitcom RPG, G.I. Joe miniatures game.
Yeah. So if Vince McMahon is listening to this, you know, we are willing to take it on.
You're excellent in gifts, sir.
I just like the one where he's like surprised and like aroused. Yes, that's my favorite
that,
one.
And then that is one of the best Vince McMahon gifts. That and like him doing his fucking entrance to the ring. Yeah. He's just like fucking the swagger. Oh man, Vince McMahon knows what the fuck he's doing. I'll tell
no,
you that.
He absolutely knows what he's doing. Yeah. And now that he's going to be like the secretary of.
Something
of wrestling, whatever.
He's gonna be the secretary of wrestling. Make wrestling great again.
Oh my god, that should be his next storyline.
Make wrestling great again.
Make wrestling great again.
I mean, Donald Trump was already on the WWE.
He was, and that would be a fantastic storyline for him to do, is to parallel that, because not only will you get like the red state people who are all like yeah, but you also get like the blue state people who be like boo, like it's good heel.
Yeah,
and he could be the hero and heel at the same time. It's like. It's built for him. Anyway, yeah. I don't even watch wrestling. I don't know why.
I would watch that.
Well, I mean, you just want to watch Vince McMahon be Vince McMahon. Yeah. You know, nothing, you know. I was like,
Shane McMahon's doing a pretty good job, too. He's kind of trying to step in and do what Vince was doing in the 90s.
Yeah.
And Vince is a little old to be running around, like, yeah. fighting in the ring now yeah. these days.
I mean, he was always built, too. I mean, like...
He was fucking jacked. Like, he definitely invested his time in his body to do... That's what I said. That's why I said he's on top of it, because he was... He never was in wrestling. He was just, you know... A dude. And, you know, he was always part of the organization, but he invested the time and training and got his body ready to do it. And then he fought and arguably made the best era of wrestling, the Attitude Era, with, you know, that's where The Rock is from, the Stone Cold. And, you know, the feud between Vince McMahon and Stone Cold is amazing. Like, it's one of the best things in wrestling. Like
Austin 316.
Austin 316 just whipped your ass.
Did you ever, he just did an interview recently where he talked about
how many beers they threw at him.
Yeah. And it was like always amazing. Like you see the cuts of all of the people throwing the beers at him, just catching them every time. Yep. It's like
he caught a lot of beers.
God, one-handed too.
Yep. He caught beers. But that was cool. And like, and that was the thing. It was so new and like unique, like having your superstar fight the owner. Like that was so novel. And like, and of course it was really cool to see when Vince McMahon fucking takes his suit off, he's jacked. You're like, oh shit, Vince McMahon's got muscles.
Like, well, and Stephanie McMahon had muscles too.
But that was the thing, that's why I thought it was so cool, because it's like, you know, he looks like a kind of dweeb in a suit and he takes it off and you're like, damn, he has got muscles. He's gonna beat up Stone Cold. And the reason that it works is because it looks like he could fight Stone Cold, because that was the thing. You look at him and you're like, oh, Stone Cold's gonna beat the shit out of this old man in a suit. And when he starts wrestling him, you're like, oh, he can actually fight. Like,
yeah,
it was great.
Yeah,
well, and Mankind, oh, the Attitude Era was so good. It was so fucking good. It's still good. And of course, arguably has the best, like, overall best wrestling match ever in terms of the things that make wrestling a physically demanding sport.
Hell in the Cell,
Mankind, Undertaker, Hell in the Cell.
Yeah,
the amount of punishment that Mick Foley takes
the tacks in the back.
Oh my god, the fucking,
I remember watching that.
The tacks, the falls, like they go from the top of the fucking cell. Like, you know, that Mick Foley, that dude gave his fucking body to WWE. Like his fucking, he's had ruptured kidneys, also missing, you know, his teeth are like, he's missing a bunch of teeth because they got fucking knocked out.
Yeah.
Like the dude. But that, yeah, that match is like, oh, like even Undertaker too. Like Undertaker didn't, you know, beat on Mick Foley. He also took a beat down. Like, they were both so fucking bloody at the end of it.
And Undertaker can barely walk, as we see.
Right. So, like, I that's a great fucking match. And if you're subscribed to the network, you can watch it anytime you want. That's the coolest. That is one of the coolest things that exists, the WWE Network. If it has every single pay-per-view that's ever aired for wrestling, ever. All of them. So if you want to watch that Undertaker, Mankind, Hell in the Cell, you can. You can just fucking load it right up.
I would watch the one where Hulk Hogan body slams Andre the Giant.
That's really cool. Actually, there's the fight
before
that.
WrestleMania 3?
I think it was 4.
Okay.
But that was a big thing. And it was really funny. They were talking, I guess Andre was fucking with Hogan like behind the scenes, saying like he wasn't going to let him lift him. He's like,
I'm not going to let you lift me.
Yeah, I won't let you pick me up.
It's like, come on, brother. You got to play along.
That, an interesting thing about that is there's a great graphic novel that's being turned into a film called Andre the Giant Closer to Heaven. And autobiography is when you write it yourself,
yes,
right?
It's a biography.
It's just a biography of Andre the Giant. And a lot of stuff I didn't know about him, like in the 80s, like when he was wrestling, like when he got big, when he got that, like the worldwide phenomenon thing, his body was giving out at that point. So he couldn't, but apparently before that, one of the reasons he was such a huge, like, the reason he got his shot at the WWE and the reason people, like, people started interested in him is because I guess he was very mobile. Like, he used to be someone who could, like, jump, do drop kicks, like, pick people. Yeah. Like, he could do a, he could top rope. So that was a big, that was the weirdest, or not the weird, but, like, the wildest thing about Andre is, like, this giant fucking dude was a huge athlete. He could run, he could jump. So, like, that was a big thing about him. I didn't even know that.
And David Mamet was his babysitter.
He used to drink like bottles and bottles of wine.
Yeah.
Terrible alcoholic.
Kevin and I sat down 2 days ago when we recorded and we drank two bottles of wine between, you know, with the two of us, and I was blitzed out of my, you could tell, like, I don't think the cast has gone up yet, but if you listen to it, it's the one where we talk about A Good Man, Charlie Brown, and the Charlie Brown Christmas special. Uh-huh. I am just gone at the end of it. I'm like slurring my words. I'm hitting the mic as I'm talking.
That's awesome. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing the movie because the graphic novel is fucking great.
Well, who the hell are they going to get to play Andre the Giant?
CG.
CG Andre the Giant.
I mean, honestly, like, it's going to be camera effects. You know, they made Gandalf look gigantic compared to a bunch of dwarves. Yeah. So I think that's just going to have to be it. You're going to have someone...
Andre the Giant is never late. He appears exactly when he needs to.
I don't like you, Hulk Hogan. I'm going to smash your face.
I was going to say, I don't know why my Andre the Giant sounded like
Dolph Lundgren?
No, he sounded like Henry Kissinger.
That too.
But
Dolph Kissinger.
Dolph Kissinger.
Yeah, because I immediately thought of Rocky IV when you were doing that voice. It's
I must break you.
I must break you. If he dies...
He dies.
Such a good movie.
He's such a great villain. I think it's the best Rocky movie.
It's definitely, I would go, if I had to put him in order, it would go 1-4, probably.
Okay. You think 1 is better?
1 is just a better movie overall.
That's true. 1 is a better film. I think 4 is a better Rocky movie.
Yeah. I mean, 4 is start to finish an amazing Rocky
Happy
movie.
Birthday, Pauly. Happy birthday, Pauly. Happy birthday,
Pauly. Yeah, I mean, because 1...
Look what Rocky bought me with his money.
Number 1 is an amazing, just a film. It, like, for
it is
film,
a very good film.
And he loses it at the end. Spoilers. And it's just...
Yeah, sorry, we just spoiled Rocky for you.
It's true. Some people haven't seen Rocky.
They should. You should watch Rocky. It's a good film.
It's just so well done. The score is fantastic. It's shot very well. It's got a truly engaging story with... And the characters, Talia Shire and Sylvester Stallone are both incredible.
Burgess Meredith is good.
Yeah, but I mean, like, everyone is very lovable in that. Even Carl Weathers is, like, you could feel for Carl Weathers throughout the entire thing.
Yeah. And that thing, he's not a villain. He's just the other boxer.
Yeah, but you could see, like, his respect for Rocky throughout the match growing, and it's really done really well. 2 erases all of that.
Yeah.
so that you can get the story that Hollywood wants to tell.
That's 2 is Clubber Lang, right?
No, 2 is the one where he fights Apollo Creed again and wins.
Okay.
Yeah.
3 is Clubber Lang.
3 is Clubber Lang, and that would probably actually still stay in my number. No.
Clubber Lang beats the shit out of Rocky, doesn't he?
Yes. Okay. So, like, if I had to put him in order, it would probably go 1-4 Rocky Balboa, which is the last one that he did. Because that one
the
is...
That was the one before Creed.
It was 1-4... the one before Creed. I'm not even including Creed.
Creed was pretty good.
It's a great movie, but I don't really consider that a Rocky movie.
I do like that it revealed who won the second fight between... that one after credits fight
dang,
with...
Dang.
Dang, dang. and I like that... The thing I liked about the movie is I liked that it... I liked that it talked about how Apollo is a better boxer than Rocky.
Oh yeah,
and like I think that was cool. And yeah. I was like, yeah, it's really cool. And like I think that's the thing that's really sweet about that whole storyline. It reminds me of there's a couple boxing anime that's like kind of takes. I'm sure. Well, one of them came out before Rocky. Now that I think about it, but it's kind of got that same feel where it's like well, he's better than me. Like I just was able to win. Yeah. Like that's all it is.
Yeah. The so it's 1-4 Rocky Balboa. 3, 2, 5. So two undoes everything that's great in 1. 3 comes back, and 3's got great because it not only has Mr. T as B.A. Baracus as
Clubber Lang,
which is a great fight at the end. I mean, like, That's like the...
Oh, that's a fucking sick name, too. Clubber Lang.
It's like... And it's great. He's great because he's the anti-Apollo Creed, where he just never acknowledges that Rocky has skill. He just beats the living hell out of him. But it also has Thunder Lips, the ultimate male, Hulk Hogan at the beginning.
Thunder Lips.
Where you see Hulk Hogan towering over Sylvester Stallone. And they're like, it's just an exhibition match, right? And he just, like, throws him out of the ring. It's such a... It's very, very good, and I enjoy the hell out of it, but it's not a very good movie. Like, four is just somewhere, like, where...
Four exists in its own universe.
Like, there's no way that this movie should have ever been made.
It's also, it doesn't even feel like a Rocky movie. It's like a weird, like, it's like a B-side. Like, it's like, you can skip that movie entirely, and you should.
Four?
Oh, no, wait, not four. No. I'm thinking of the one where he's, like, fighting in the street.
Oh, Street Fighter, that's five. That's where he fights Tommy the Machine Gun.
Yeah, five is weird. I didn't like five.
No, five is terrible.
Yeah, five is the one I'm talking about. All the things I just said about four, replace that with five.
No, but four is...
Five is existing in its own universe.
Well, four, that's what I kind of say with four is, like, it's like, four seems like the type of movie that would exist in a parallel universe, but that parallel universe is our universe. So someone from a different universe will come over to our universe and go, what the fuck? They made a Rocky IV? What is this movie? He's fighting the Soviet Union? The Soviet Union collapsed in 1972 in our universe. You know, like... It's like,
what's a Soviet Union?
Well, it's something like that, where it's like, what the hell is going on? And it's like... Why is he dressed up in the American flag shorts?
Oh, he's great when he's wearing Apollo's boxers.
Yeah. And why is Apollo dead? What happened? it's seriously like someone would come over from a parallel universe, see this movie, and that would be the marker. You know, like in
The Bernstein Bears.
Don't get me fucking started on that piece of shit. You know what that is? Okay, really quick. But that, the Berenstain, well, no, let me finish my thought first, then I'll get to the Berenstain Bears. No, it's like when you go over to a parallel universe and you see like, huh, Sylvester Stallone is in The Terminator, like in The Last Action Hero.
He would have been a fine Terminator.
A fine Terminator. But you're like...
He was great in that movie.
But you're like, oh, that's weird. I must be in a parallel universe. You know how like you always go over and you see like blimps and you're like, oh, must be in a parallel universe.
Blimps. Blimps are a telltale sign.
Yeah. That's what it would be for someone else. They would come over here and see Rocky IV and they'd be like, okay, I'm in a fucking weird universe. How come there are no blimps and how come there's a Rocky IV?
How come Schwarzenegger's not in Rocky?
Exactly. Wait, yeah, exactly. But no, the Berenstain Bears effect. Okay, for those who have heard it, it's been around.
The Mandela effect.
Yeah, the Mandela effect. It's been around forever. And it's basically people are A, unobservant, and B, completely ignorant of events that are going on around them.
Also, people misremember things in the same fashion.
No, they don't misremember them. They're just not paying enough attention to it. Like,
I don't know about the Nelson Mandela thing is not, but like the Berenstain Bears is something I experienced. But you also have to factor in for this, like when I was reading Berenstain Bears books, we're talking, you know, I'm six,
and so, you really don't know how to read that well.
So
yet.
Trying to remember something that I did when I was six, it's very easy to remember something that makes more sense, like Berenstain, like Frankenstein or Berenstain, however you want to fucking say it. That just, you remember it because you fill in the gap and you're like, oh, okay, yeah, Berenstain. And when you look at it and you're like, Berenstain? Like, I never, because no one ever said it like that when you're little. So there's huge gaps of time for most people. I'm sure anyone who read them continuously.
Yeah, but I get that one. I'm talking like the Mandela effect.
Well, specifically Nelson Mandela, that was really weird. Like,
I never
even heard of that before.
People are just don't pay attention and they fill in their own gaps. Like, a great example, my friend Nick.
Even paying attention, people fill in their own gaps.
Well, they do. My friend Nick, I was talking with him about Jim Henson. And that's some odd reason he brings...
It's not easy being green.
He goes, yeah, you die of cancer like Jim Henson. And I'm like, Jim Henson didn't die of cancer.
No, he like had a concussion or something.
No,
right?
He had pneumonia.
Pneumonia?
Yeah. It was always like,
I thought he had a head injury.
No, he had like a chest cold or it was like something like pneumonia. It's not exactly pneumonia, but he did. I was like...
All he knows, he should have went to the doctor, if I remember correctly. Yes. And he went to bed instead.
Yeah. Well, and that's what my friend and Nick goes, huh, I always just kind of assumed it was cancer. And I go, that's what the Mandela effect is. Like, you're just like, huh, I just kind of assumed Mandela was dead.
It would be a mass assumption, though. Like, that's the thing, though.
But that's the thing is, mass amounts of people are stupid.
But for all of them to make the same assumption is kind of like that effect itself is interesting, where like a bunch of people all come to the same made up conclusion together. That's an interesting phenomenon either way.
No, and that's easily explained because people will come to that conclusion that Nelson Mandela died. They go online, they find that there's other people who think that, and then
now it's completely invalid. But the Mandela effect, remember, I believe was pre-internet, wasn't that?
No, it was not. It was mainly post-internet because it happened after Mandela died that everyone was like, wait, I already thought Mandela was dead.
The Berenstain Bears thing, that I didn't even know about that until someone pointed out it was Berenstain. I was like, really? I was like, I always thought it was Berenstain. But that was it.
I always thought they were Jewish. Weren't they Jewish bears?
I thought they were Jewish
the
bears.
The Berenstains?
I could have sworn they had kippas.
Yeah. The Berenstains? They hung out with the Goldbergs? It was a good time?
The new neighbors. Have you seen that edit? It's Berenstain Bears, the new neighbors, and it's got the pandas, and it's got the fucking dad bear, like, really grumpy, and then, like, it just zooms in on his face and just says, make America great again. Yeah, that's pretty good.
But the
it's because they're Chinese.
Yes, I get it.
China,
and they're not even really bears.
It's true.
Yeah,
but that makes me so irrationally mad because
Pan the panda died, the oldest panda in the world. Yesterday.
It makes me the Berenstain Bears effect or Mandela effect makes me so irrationally mad because all it is people who are really, really ignorant about political events, like the Mandela effect, really, really ignorant about world events, getting together and then acknowledging that I'm not really ignorant of world events. It's a parallel universe. Like, no, you're fucking stupid.
That part's silly.
Yeah.
I just thought it was humorous.
Well, it's humorous, but it also makes me mad because it's like you should be fucking on. You know, you should be paying attention to the world instead of believing that you're in a parallel universe because you're that dumb. Anyway, so
I don't pay attention to the world. Fuck the world.
So before we go, I did. Kevin from Comic Book Logic just texted me and he goes, speaking of porn, I was also thinking that for all the love people give to long takes in movies, no one ever talks about how porn does long takes all the time. I just thought that's an amazing observation.
Nice. The meme of the year 2016 is at the Final Four.
Is it Peppy?
No. Okay, so I'll give you the full brackets. This will be the end of the cast. We can do the meme of the year 2016. So on the right side bracket, we had Robbie Rotten / We Are Number One.
Yes, that's
versus Pacha Edits, which is the Just Right.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Then we had the next pairing was Pepe versus Dat Boy.
Ugh, both of them terrible.
The Frog versus Frog. Then the 2016 election versus Drink Bleach. Then the Barry B. Benson versus the Doorman. Have you seen the Doorman where he's like, it's the,
oh yeah, 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 yeah.
Okay, yeah. So in those brackets, We Are Number One shredded Pacha. Dat Boy lost a narrow lost narrowly to Pepe. The 2016 election clobbered Drink Bleach. Barry B. Benson destroyed the Doorman. And then next bracket, Robbie Rotten versus Pepe. Robbie Rotten slaughtered Pepe. It was
good.
Like 80-20.
Good.
2016 presidential.
You heard about the whole thing with him, right? That he's got like cancer and he's like doing all this stuff.
Yeah. The GoFundMe raised a shit ton of money for him.
Yeah.
So he's actually like gonna be okay.
Okay.
The 2016 election lost to Barry Benson. And on the other side, we had Kazoo Kid versus Harambe. Dab versus Rick Harrison. This is my pawn shop. Arthur Fist versus Triggered. Mr. Krabs versus SpongeGar. Harambe obviously destroyed Kazoo Kid. Rick Harrison beat the Dab, which is fair. Arthur Fist, in my opinion, unfairly lost to Triggered. Triggered's old. I don't know. But Mr. Krabs lost to SpongeGar. Then Harambe shredded Rick Harrison and destroyed him and his pawn shop. You never know what's going to come through that door. Triggered beat SpongeGar. So now the final four. Going into the final four, you have Harambe versus Triggered. I think it's going to be an easy layup for Harambe. And I believe We Are Number One is going to defeat the B-movie, Barry B. Benson.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure this is going to be an easy Harambe We Are Number One finals. And I really want We Are Number One to win. Like, We Are Number One is one of my favorite things right now. Like, I'm watching like all of the fucking weird goddamn edits. Like, We Are Number One, but every one is the B-movie. that shit is the funniest thing in the world. I don't know why.
I don't really get the B movie thing. I don't know why people love it that much.
It's because they. I would refer to them. This is just me personally. I refer to the We Are Number One and B movie specifically. They're meta memes, and they have transmogrified into their own thing. Like, the B-movie itself isn't the meme. The meme is what people are doing to the B-movie.
Okay.
Like,
I get that.
The B-movie, except every time they say B, it gets faster.
But I don't. What I don't understand is that, like, why pick the B-movie?
I believe the B-movie specifically popped up because someone made a humorous Tumblr post, which was a small image that was just the B-movie script. And then the B-movie script started to become a meme, and it was like,
yeah, I knew
putting
that
stuff on the B-movie script, and I think this is that, like, this is the evolution of that.
Okay.
So, like, it reached critical mass when people started, when one YouTuber with a, he's got a really deep and sassy voice like this, he recorded himself reading the B-movie script. That started this, and that became, like, there was, like, somebody, Smash Mouth's All-Star, except every somebody is that guy reading the B-movie script. Like, that's how it started, and then it morphed into just the people doing shit with the B-movie. Like, the B-movie, because every time they say B, it gets more dank.
I know that when Jerry Seinfeld did an AMA on Reddit, they asked quite many questions about a B-movie sequel.
I liked B-movie.
It's not a terrible movie.
Yeah,
I thought
it was funny. I prefer artificial sweeteners made by man.
I like that the guy, he loses his stinger and gets replaced by a little cocktail sword.
Yeah, that's the cocktail sword. Ray Liotta's private select. And then the part with Sting is awesome. Is that really true? Gordon Sumner? And then fucking John goes, not his real name, you idiots.
I'm glad you get, like, a huge kick out of the B-movie.
I liked the B-movie. I thought it was really funny. I was excited to see all these people were just doing shit with the B-movie. I was like, yay, I like B-movie.
Well, there you go. That's your 2016 for you. Steve's really excited about the B-movie.
I'm more excited about We Are Number One.
Yeah.
I really want, We Are Number One better beat Harambe. I'll be very upset. Like, my 2016 will be ruined if Harambe loses, or Harambe wins against We Are Number
One. Well, I mean, you have to look at the parallels. We Are Number One represents something that's really positive and great about 2016.
It's true.
Not even, like, the meme itself, but Robbie Rotten.
Everything about We Are Number One is positive.
Yes.
The meme, it's funny, it's silly. The meme itself raised awareness for this dude who, like, has cancer
yeah,
and was a kids show star.
And Harambe is basically the harbinger of everything that was awful about 2016. Like, when people will talk about, why was 2016 so awful? It will start with, well, see, there's this fucking gorilla.
Yeah. So that thing, it has to win. For there to be a positive future, We Are Number One has to carry the torch of hope into 2017.
I'm not saying that Harambe is the reason Donald Trump got elected, but people wrote Harambe in as a presidential candidate. Not saying that they would have voted for anyone else besides Harambe, but they voted for Harambe.
They did.
That's how awful this fucking year was. And you know what? It's over tonight at, we got 14 hours before the end of this fucking year. From the time of recording, so this will go out tomorrow, so it'll be a new year, thank fucking God.
I personally had a fantastic year.
Well, I mean, I had a son that was born, and it's not...
That sounds awful, I'm sorry.
But I mean,
I was talking about good things.
But I'm not saying that, I'm just saying, like, geopolitically, like, everyone has decent or bad years based upon their own, you know, little self-bubble that they create, but I'm talking, like, us is like...
Look at this net that I just found, yeah. When I say go, be ready to throw!
I'm talking, like, as a civilization, this has been a shitty year. And not just even the deaths. I'm just talking about, like, well, maybe the deaths of political culture and the deaths of a lot of other things. But it's just been a shitty year.
I mean, it's just been culminating to this, really.
Yeah. I mean, we're reaching it. So hopefully one of the positive signs is that, like, what is it? Not humble memes. It's uplifting memes.
Oh, uplifting memes.
Has become very popular.
That's really
like
funny.
That.
It's like my girl texted me today. She said, "Have a good day."
Yeah. Well, it's the
wholesome memes. That's
wholesome,
what it is.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Wholesome memes.
I think it's uplifting on Reddit.
Wholesome memes is good. I've seen that on Twitter.
Yeah, but they'll have, like, they'll be like, you know, the one with the dog, and it'll be like, oh, look, dog. And then the dog, it says, woof, woof. He goes, I like dogs. And that's like what it is. Like, oh, this dog is very cute. You know, it's like, oh, okay, I get it. You know, it's like, yeah. It's
kind of reminds me of OU. OU.
Yeah. OU is my favorite. I send it to my wife still. All right, go to planetarbitrary.com for your Planet Arbitrary needs. You can follow me on Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. You can follow Steve at
Play on Steve.
Like our Facebook page, / Game Classy Podcast, where Steve talks about his butt. You could the best way you can help out the podcast, like, comment, and subscribe on iTunes. You could also listen to Game Classy on the YouTubes, Game Classy Podcast. You could also listen to our sister podcast, Comic Book Logic, which is all about comic book movies. We're going to get back into schedule soon, hopefully. We've been off lately because of the holidays, but we will. We're going to do our year-end review and upcoming preview for the next year. And, you know, it's all about comic books, comic book movies, comic book TV shows, that sort of thing. And you have Play On, where Pat and Steve talk about, I don't know.
Retro video game reviews.
DuckTales? Is it DuckTales you guys are talking about?
I like DuckTales.
That's a great game.
There's a new DuckTales show coming with a pretty extensive voice cast.
Yeah, I always liked the remastered DuckTales. You ever see that one?
Yeah, it's really good.
It's real good.
I had it
good.
On PS3. It was a great game.
And also, Steve has his new show, Weeb Town. We're going to see how that's going to roll out. I don't know. Is it like weekly, bi-weekly, monthly?
I think we're going to try and do it every other week.
Oh, okay, cool.
That's the plan.
And they're going to...
I got to work around Giuseppe's schedule, though, so it might not be exactly...
He's like 16. What schedule does he have?
He fucking works, man. He works and he goes to college.
Oh, that's true.
He's got a very full schedule.
When they talk about anime... And
Japanese stuff.
Yeah, yeah, I guess
Japanese
it's,
anything.
Yeah,
because we talk about Japanese video games, card games, anything from Japan,
from Nippon.
Yeah, anything from the Nihon.
From
Nippon is not real. Nihon is real.
Okay, sorry. Asol.
Sumina-san.
I don't know what any of this means.
That's fine.
So Steve, until the new year,
are you a real villain?
Game Classy.